Take your Bibles, if you would, please, tonight, and open up to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 in the Word of God tonight. 1 Thessalonians and chapter number 2 in the Word of God this evening. And for those of you who are visiting with us, once again, we do welcome you to our services on Wednesday night. This is a midweek service, and all of our kids and teenagers are in different classes and all around the building tonight. And we come, we go through our prayer list. I know that we can't hit every name in there, but we do have those available in the back. You can pick up a prayer sheet and be in prayer for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And then we come in here and we dig into the Word of God. And we've been going through verse by verse here, an in-depth study of 1 Thessalonians. And we have now found our way here in chapter number 2. So as you find 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word tonight, 1 Thessalonians and chapter number 2. And tonight we're going to be in verse number 4 this evening. Verse number 4 tonight. And so 1 Thessalonians and chapter number 2. Would you look with me at verse number 4? Give me just a moment. This is, there we go. It's in 2 Thessalonians. This is not my preaching Bible. Brother Arrowwood, praise the Lord, is fixing my binders coming off the back. It's the Bible that I've used for many years to preach out of. So this is still the Bible. Don't start panicking on me, but I couldn't find my place here. I got it now. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, look with me at verse number 4. The Bible says this: "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts." Over the last several weeks, we've been looking at the example church. The example church. And tonight, we want to look at, once again, the subject of strong ministers. Strong ministers that are in these example churches. And last week, we began to dig in, 2 weeks ago, and we began to look at the message that a minister would have, the message that a minister would have. And tonight, as the Lord allows us this evening, we're going to look at his motive, the motive of a minister in an example church that's very much applicable for you and I living in 2021. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, ask him to bless the reading and the teaching and the preaching of his word, and then let's dig in tonight. Father, thank you, Lord, for a Wednesday night. I know, Lord, oftentimes it's a night that we're tired, a lot going on, and Lord, no doubt with volleyball and soccer and practices taking place and folks just getting off work, throwing down some supper and then coming in this evening, we can be tired, Lord, weary physically. But Lord, I ask that you would allow us to be awake spiritually tonight. Father, on a Wednesday night, we come and we read through this prayer list. There's a lot of people who are asking for prayer. And Lord, may we take it serious, praying for our brothers and sisters, praying for the lost this evening, Father. Lord, now as we come to the preaching and teaching of your word, I ask, Savior, that, Lord, once again, your word, oh God, that we would just fall in love with it. This is an amazing passage of Scripture. And Lord, it really does set kind of a foundation, even for us here at Cross Point Baptist Church. So, Father, I ask, Lord, that our minds and our hearts would be open. Lord, give us what we need tonight. May we be fed from your word. We love you. In your Son's holy and precious and wonderful name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Verse number 4 here, the first part of this verse says, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel." Now, up until that comma, we're going to come back and revisit this because it takes place in verse number 8. It also takes place in verse number 9. And we're going to dig in here in about a week to that phrase there, the gospel. And we're going to revisit a little bit of what that's pertaining to and the foundation, what it's talking about. But the latter part of this verse says, "Even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts." Paul continues to speak of the authority they have to preach the gospel to this really strong church that has a good, clear foundation here in Thessalonica, but also continues to spread. He expounds that the preaching of truth is not always popular. Now watch very carefully. Listen during this introduction. Catch this. It's not always popular, especially with those that would be carnal or those that would be living in the flesh. those unbelieving people. Therefore, when a pastor is thrown in the midst of a people who are worldly, a pastor can be tempted to tone down the message in order to please the people of the day, in order to be, maybe we would say or put it like this, politically correct, maybe to draw a crowd. Therefore, when this pastor is thrown into these type of temptations, Paul is this reminder here that he sought to please God and not man. However, note that Paul is really putting this kind of explanation point that this is going to happen quite often in the day in which he was living. Is it not only talking about them, but we have in the Word of God that throughout history, this might be a temptation to be able to preach or to teach or to talk about the things that, as the Word of God puts it, would tickle people's ears, or people would maybe not feel the conviction of God, the thing that would maybe draw a crowd, or the subject that would draw a crowd, and people wouldn't be convicted of sin, or people might not even be encouraged the way that they could be encouraged when the Word of God is taught. Now, I want you to listen very carefully. A pastor, you ready for this? A pastor that would stand in the pulpit and cater to a church that would tell him, do it my way or I'm leaving. Now, catch it. A pastor that would stand in the pulpit and cater to a crowd that says, you either do it our way, our standard, our preference, or we are leaving, is not a pastor, but a hireling. That's not always easy. It's not always easy to stand in a pulpit and to preach what thus saith the Lord. Understand, in the Word of God, it's not always popular. It's not always what people want to hear. It's not always what even would be politically correct or even loved of the world today. But friend, comprehend this. May we at Cross Point Baptist Church always have a man that stands in the pulpit and will preach not what just is popular or preach what is going to lift him up, but God forbid we ever have a pastor that would stand in this pulpit and just tickle the ears of people or just kind of preach to a standard of man or to a standard of families or to a standard of preference of a group of people. No, friend, may you and I always pray that the pastor in this pulpit preaches what thus saith the Lord. Amen. That's what you and I ought to desire to hear. A man that would stand in the pulpit and preach what, I don't want to preach this because so-and-so might get offended. And if they get offended, they said they're going to leave the church. And well, if they leave the church, then our tithes are going to hurt. No, friend, it's not about tithes, and it's not about giving, and it's not about what a preference or a standard, whether it be philosophy or methodology. No, friend, what you and I ought to desire to hear is a man that will thunder from behind the pulpit exactly what God wants him to preach, what God wants him to teach, rightly dividing the word of truth. If that makes sense, then I want you to say amen. I got to make sure that you're with me here. Understand, God alone would try Paul's heart. God alone was going to judge him. He was going to stand and he was going to give an account of the ministry someday, and he would stand before God alone. That's why the end part of this verse says, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, we're going to get here in a couple weeks, says this. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that ye have received of us how ye ought to walk, listen now very carefully, and to please God, so would abound more and more. Let's remember the day and age which you and I live in. You and I are going to give an account one day. You and I are going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are going to give an account. At that day, when you and I are not here on this earth, but when you and I are in the kingdom of God at that point, friend, comprehend this. We are not standing before each other. You and I are not the judges. You and I are not going to stand before other families. You and I are not going to stand before the principal of the school. You and I are not going to stand before some pastor or deacon or some priest or some ministry leader out there. One day, you and I will give an account, and I am thankful at that day we are going to give an account account, not to Instagram or Facebook or our friends or our mom and dad, but at that moment, we are going to give an account to the righteous judge, Jesus Christ. And we give an account one day. God forbid we ever stand there and say, well, we wanted to do it that way because we wanted to please so-and-so. You don't understand what a hard critic they were, and you don't understand what we are put through. No, what Paul is saying here, his motive is this. I am going to preach, and I'm going to preach the gospel, and I'm going to give it unto you, not so that we please man or so that we please the culture of Thessalonica or the culture of the day. No, we are going to preach so that God is exalted, so that he is lifted up, so that the gospel goes forth. Why? Because trends change and people change and standards change and family trees. Let's understand, the list goes on and on and on of everything that changes, but you and I have the very word of God which will live and abide forever. So therefore, it's just easy. As a pastor, I love it, especially in an expository manner, just to dive into the Word of God. Because why? We can't argue with it. We're not preaching what Thomas Shepard says. We're not preaching a soapbox, as we've called it for so many years. We're not preaching a standard that the preacher wants or desires and or added to the Word of God. No, we're getting into the Word of God, and we're preaching what, verse by verse, what the Word of God says. Look with me at verse number 5. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. Now watch, pastors. The strong and true minister does not preach and minister for what he can get out of it. In our English language here, the word flattery implies the kind of compliments that are given in order to get something out of people. Paul did not flatter people in order to secure a friendship or perhaps a following and or maybe even support. He, of course, did commend people. He did encourage people. His letters oftentimes are full of commending someone. And his letters in the New Testament show that he commended them often, quite often. In the book of Philippians, how many times do we read? In 2 Thessalonians, how many times do we read? Even in these passages of Scripture we're going to see here, there's a very much a commending that takes place, but he also did it very truthfully, always covering the weak areas that the people needed to strengthen, as well as their strong and commendable areas. Listen very carefully, and let's make some application of this. The Bible says this. It's a very familiar, several very familiar verses, but I want you to read it, and I think this is going to help us tonight. Now listen very carefully. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 12, verse number 3, the Lord shall cut off all flattering, check out the wording, lips, and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Proverbs 26, 28, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. Proverbs 28, 23, he that rebuketh a man afterward shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. Now listen to this verse, and this is super important to the application here, so watch very carefully. The Bible says this, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are, listen to the wording, deceitful. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. We all ought to have friends in our life that could be there to help us. Maybe even, let's use the wording like this. It would help us with constructive criticism. Those that are there, we all have those in our life that maybe are an encourager or those that lift you up. We've talked about before, George, I've even used you on a Sunday morning, talking about those that are always there, that they're very uplifting. You like to be around them. We ought to all have friends like that. But understand, we ought to also all have friends that are there to also give us truth. That ought to be there, that, listen, iron sharpeneth iron, that you can get with, and that constructive criticism is there. That friend that's there that's going to help us grow or going to help us learn and or maybe take something to task or maybe even question a little bit. All of us ought to have those friends that are there that's going to lift us up and build us up to where we're not walking away and we're all mad and it's all rude and it's all, you know, how dare you say this? So we ought to all have friends in our life that we could go to for advice, whether it be on raising kids, for those of you who have been there before and have grandkids, or maybe even marriage advice, or maybe even those, now listen, watch, who have lived, and you've got, you know, we always say, been there, done that, got a t-shirt. Maybe you've kind of even walked that road before, and you've done it, you've been there, and perhaps you've even been hurt by it, whether it be culture, or whether it be friends, or maybe it's sin, or maybe it's something in our life that you and I have struggled with in the past. And then we see, watch very carefully, we see somebody else that might be walking down that same type of path. And so then, Brother Hildebrand, maybe it would be you that would say, Pastor, to be honest with you, I'd be super careful, because when we were raising kids, here's what happened, and here's what took place, and here's where we were hurt. Or Brother Fisher, here's what happened in our marriage, and this is, Pastor, what took place, here's what happened. And it's not them reprimanding a friend, but it's them helping a friend. If you're getting this tonight, say amen. We ought to all have somebody like that in our life. Now here's, okay, it's a home crowd tonight, so let's just go and say it. Here's what often happens when we preach something like this. I think we all automatically, but Nate, you're wearing a badge up here. We kind of all think we got this badge now, and so we're going to walk around, Brother Brian, and we're just going to fix everything in everybody's life. Oh, Brother Brian, I'm telling you, I don't know, y'all haven't been sitting as close as you used to, and so down a slippery slope there, brother, and so he's walking around, you know, oh, Judy, I don't know, I haven't seen y'all on piano here lately, and you know, three to thrive, you need to be up there a little bit, and then we start getting on to it, George, I'm just here to, so on and so forth. Look, this doesn't give us a badge to walk around and fix everything in everybody's life, but we ought to have friends there that can hold us accountable. Friends that are there to help. Friends that are there to guide. But be careful getting a quote-unquote friend in your life that then is always negative. There, Laura, I'm just here to tell you, boy, this and this, this. And every time you're around, Pastor, I'm tearing you down, I'm marring this, and you know, you're here a little bit late tonight, it's 7:33, and this, and all of a sudden, every time Laura gets around, Carrie and I, we're just tearing her down, and tearing her down, and tearing her down. I just be honest with you, I don't want friends like that. Well, thank you, Pastor. I think me and you are the only ones. But I was to be honest with you, I'm not ashamed to say it. I don't want a friend that's always, you know, always there and wants to tell you something and always tearing you down and this. Look, I don't want to be mean, but look, if somebody ever says that to me, look, I don't mean to be mean, but you get just, they're going to say something mean. So as soon as I say that, I'm like, just stop right there. I don't even want to hear it. I don't mean to be mean, but I don't want to offend you, but guess what they're going to do? They're about to offend you, you know what I'm saying? So just in our walk of life, understand, we ought to have those people there that are going to help us, and then a balance of the encouragement, because what Paul's saying is, look, I'm not walking in just to write a letter, and I'm going to lift up my up, flatter you, oh, you're so beautiful, you're so great, you're so wonderful, so to gain something out of it. But watch very carefully. Look what it says here, verse number 5, the end here. It says, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. The word covetousness shows that Paul was accused. Remember, the whole chapter starts him. He's defending himself of being in ministry out of greed, that he had chosen the ministry to earn a livelihood, maybe to get rich off of it. But Paul emphatically denies this and says that his lifestyle proves it. He declares that the church knows the fact and that God is witness to this truth. Remember, the end of Acts chapter 16, the whole precedence, the whole foundation that we set up heading into this sermon series, and especially in chapter number 17, there is no doubt that Paul has proven with his life that as he took beatings and shipwrecks and whippings, and as he stood before magistrates, I mean, his whole life ought to be proven that he's not in it for the money. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 21, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Listen to this very carefully, Colossians 3, 5, mortify therefore your body, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Friend, listen now. Let's remember that you and I are only here for a short time. How many agree with this statement? That life, the older you get, goes faster and faster. Would you say amen? I mean, especially I feel like when fall comes around, everybody goes back to school because you're such in a routine, it just flies by. Up, get up for school, get the kids ready, get in the car, go 3 o'clock, get them home, hurry, get up. I mean, soccer practice, volleyball practice, this. I mean, it's just like, it's so scheduled that I feel like 24 hours in a day is a lie. I feel like we've got like 3 hours in a day and boom, it's over. And before you know it, we're going to be singing Christmas carols. And how many's ready for Christmas? Anybody with me? Yeah, okay, some of you. This is going to tell you. I love Christmas. I busted out a little Bing Crosby today. Don't judge, but I'm just telling you. I'm getting ready for it. Little Frank Sinatra, you know what I'm saying? Like, here we go. It's coming around. It's October. Get your fall decorations down. Well, we haven't had Thanksgiving yet. Oh, you're one of those people. Anyways, I like Christmas. And I feel like Christmas is here, and then boom, it's over. It's the new year, and I don't like New Year's. It's so weird. Like, it's here we go, another 365 days. We're all going to go on a diet in the last 3 days. But anyways, nonetheless, oh, it just goes faster and faster and faster. And it's just, boom, that's just gone. Just remind us this evening. We love to work with our hands. We love to make money, and I praise the Lord for it. Praise the Lord for those very successful, even at Cross Point, building businesses, and God's been good, and God is so good to us. Isn't he? Amen. He's good to us. But life is not about making money so that we can fill our barns. And then tear them down and build bigger barns and fill them up. Life one day is going to end. I mean, I hate to say it, but y'all all are in on that, right? That we die one day or we go up in the rapture. How many would rather have the rapture? Say amen. Some of you didn't say amen. You're either not awake or you really weird me out tonight. It's just kind of one of those nights. I'd rather just go up in the rapture, to be honest with you. We're either going to go up in the rapture, and we go up in the rapture, we leave everything behind. Everything stays.
I'm not sure I understand.
I told you. Surrey is not saved yet, but we're working on it. We are working on it. Apologize for that. Big Brother is listening. If you're not aware yet, they're out there. I don't even know where I was going with that. Forget it. So look, we have to comprehend that God is watching, and you and I ought to live our lives pleasing him, doing all that we can to build and grow his kingdom. It's not ours. We're pilgrims. We're here for a little while. And then it's gone. It's done. That's it. For those of you who lost loved ones this past year, that's it. They have a legacy here. That's it. The name. Their body is in the ground. They don't get another chance. There is no other shot. That's all there is. And you and I, if God doesn't come back, we will live the same. We're here for a little while, and then it's there. It's steam. Boom. It's gone. That's it. You and I live our lives, and yes, I praise the Lord. We bring home money, and yes, we work, and yes, we climb the corporate ladder, and yes, but understand this, that's not what life is all about. It's not just well, let's see how much we can gain. No, it's how much we can do for him. Look at verse number 6. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you. Now watch very carefully. Nor yet of others. When we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. Paul says the glory did not belong to himself. His motive is not just to work and look at me and I'm going to come in and flatter you and I'm going to come in and do it. I'm not gaining. He says, this is all to the glory, neither of you, not for others. When we might have been burdens to the apostles of Christ, they weren't seeking glory. Paul's saying this, it's all to the glory of God. And may you and I continue to give the glory to him. May it be our motto each and every week when we come in. It's not esteeming somebody over and over. over. It's not even taking leaders and, wow, look at all this and all this built statues and all this little kingdom here and there. No, it's you and I realizing that everything that happens at Cross Point Baptist Church, every time a debt was paid off, every time a building was reconstructed, every time another member was added or saved or baptized or discipled, it's not to the glory of our family. It's all to the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And me and you and I always keep that mindset. Always have that mindset that it's about Him. It's always about Him. Every special that is sung, every piano that is played, every message that is preached, every child that's brought to God, every baptism that takes place, it's not about Cross Point. It's all about God. And may the glory continue to be His. And everything that you and I do in our homes and our families and our marriages and at work, whatever the case might be. So God has been good to us and great, we've been successful. And I even look at my life at times and think, God, why do you bless us the way that you do? And at times, Carrie and I come to tears just thinking about how good He is to us. But friend, God forbid it ever be, yeah, look what I did. Look what I built. Look at the name that's on that pew. Look at the plaque that's on that wall. No, it's not about our name. It's about His name. He must increase. We must decrease. God forbid, I believe there's great times, really great times ahead for Cross Point Baptist Church. I could care less about what the government and everybody else is going to do. Well, we're in this for a long time. Big deal who's in the White House. I'm just telling you this. I believe God's got big days for Cross Point Baptist Church. Like, I get super excited and, whoo, man, I'm telling you. But God forbid we ever get to a place where it's all about us. And also, we forget it's not about us. He gave us the breath in our lungs and the 10 fingers on our hands. He gave us our feet. He gave us the health to even be here tonight, to sit in this room or to watch via live stream. It's not about us, friend. It is all about Jesus Christ. We see His message. We see His motive. But I want us to see this. Also, we see number three, His method. Number three, His method. Would you look with me at verse number 7? But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. What Paul says is descriptive, and it shows a deep love that he held for the church and for the believers at Thessalonica. Paul was a gentle man towards them as a mother who nurses her children. The idea here is that the Christian must minister to people with tenderness and warmth and affection and care and intensity and love. This culture does, now listen very carefully, does this culture need truth without a doubt? And we're going to continue to preach the Word of God. We're not going to back down, nor are we going to compromise on the doctrine of God's Word. If the Lord said yay, or if the Lord said nay, it has not changed in this culture. The Word of God is always going to be correct. Help me out, amen? It's going to be correct. The world needs truth, but the world also needs, well, a little tender care. Paul is saying here that the love that he's giving to this church is like a mom. Have you ever had somebody, men, all men look up here, before you had kids, like let's just think about that for a minute. Have you ever seen, or maybe you were one of those guys that, you know, you got a mom there and she's got, you know, two diaper bags and she's carrying the slings. What are they called? What do you put a baby in? A carrier, and she's got a carrier in this arm. And she's got all this, and all of a sudden the baby starts crying a little bit. She's carrying the baby. It starts crying a little bit. And Eric, have you ever been there where they're like, oh, here. And have you ever seen a man that's not real familiar with kids or babies, and they're like, hurry, you know, like, it's looking at me. Whoa, what's going on? Like, it's weird and it's awkward. You ever seen that? Anybody? Really, nobody? This is weird. What about you, Suri? Moms are not like that. You know, women, feminism, the feminine lady, it's not like that.
They all, it doesn't matter what age they are. I mean, you pick a little nine-year-old. They know how to hold babies. They're just, it's natural to them. They come, they hold them. They got it. I got it. It's okay. Shh. You know, it's just, but after five kids, let me tell you, I'm a professional by now. I got it. The lady hands me a baby now. I'm like, you know, I did two of them, twins. You know, this is nothing. I mean, it's, I got it now. But understand, it's that type of tenderness. The world, they know what we stand against. But do they know what we're for? They know we're truth. That's why they're walking in our doors, wondering, searching, wondering, scratching their head. Why are they happy? They're going through the coronavirus like everybody else. Why are they happy? They lost the family members like everybody else. How are they getting through? How did their marriage last? How did they do it? They're wondering. They know what we're against because we ought to be. We ought to be very vocal about it. We are against certain things. We do stand for truth. We do stand for the Word of God, and that's not going to change. But what the world ought to see in us is also that tenderness of love and joy and mercy and grace. And they may walk in the back doors, and maybe they don't look like us. Maybe they don't act like us. Maybe they don't even know who Paul or Mary or Moses or Noah or Ruth or Esther is. Maybe they've never been in here. Maybe they do look very different from what pastor is wearing tonight. Friend, our love ought to be this. We're not going to stop preaching truth, but that person that walks in the back door that's searching ought to know that there is a church, a Cross Point Baptist Church, and no matter what age, no matter what color, no matter where they've been, no matter what their family tree is, no matter what testimony they have in the area, they are welcome to sit in the pews at Cross Point Baptist Church. And it's love and joy and welcome. Come on in. Well, I thought I was going to be judged here. Oh, no. We're glad you're here tonight. And they might not know the songs that we sing. But you know what? They're here for a reason. And you know how they ought to be treated? Like a mom with a child. With love. And cherishing them. And loving them. And gracefully walking them through the gospel. This method here is Paul's being very careful. But look at verse number 8. So being affectionately desirous of you, were we willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. Now again, we're going to dive into that word, not the gospel of God only, but I love what it says here. So being, look at verse number 8, so being affectionately desirous of you. Paul's affection for his people was so strong that he preached the gospel to them in the midst of adversity and, to be honest, great opposition. He was willing to do even more. He was willing to pour out his soul for them, to sacrifice his very life to make sure that they came to know the gospel of Christ and have eternal salvation as he did. He says this in this verse, because ye were dear unto us. The word dear in our English language means beloved. They were a beloved people. Listen, now watch. Know what Paul says here is that he's willing to sacrifice his life for one simple reason. They were dear unto him. Acts chapter number 20 says, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, Paul says this, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. He said in Philippians, therefore my beloved brethren, beloved long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Listen very carefully. Seeing you have purified your own souls and obeying the truth through the Holy Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Paul says here, this love is for you. I am hazarding my life. I'm giving my life for you. Why? Because you're dear unto me. A pastor loves his people. One of the hardest jobs in the world really is being a pastor. It's proven over and over. But you know why pastors are in it? Yes, for God. Yes, because they're calling. But we love it. Why? We love it because of God's people.
Carrie's here tonight, sitting in the back, and Carrie and I mean this as your pastor. I'm just going to say it clear tonight. We absolutely love being at Cross Point Baptist Church. Love it. We just enjoy it. We're having the time of our lives with you in a very weird and different culture all around us. I'm not talking about Indianapolis. I'm talking like everywhere. Like everywhere. We love it. We hurt with you and we cry with you. We pray, and Carrie and I both fast for you. But you know, this love that we have ought to be all of us. A love for each other. A love that possibly we'd even die for the person that sits on our pew. The Bible says, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, for the love that ye have one for another." How the world is going to see that you and I are different, and it's the way we treat each other. It's amazing at times. Really, Pastor Foote, it shocks me. Brother Mancroni, it's almost difficult to comprehend at times that we could treat a brother or a sister in Christ with such rudeness and crudeness and almost a bullying attitude. Family, I want to remind us all tonight, we're all on the same team. All of us. We're serving the same God, are we not? Amen. Jesus Christ is our King. And you and I are ambassadors for that King. That means this, you and I are serving our Lord. And how the world is going to know that you and I are on the same team, disciples of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, is the love, not the like, the love that we have for each other. It's deep. It's a love. It's a caring, it's a helping, it's an encouraging type of love. And Paul says, watch, he says this in this verse, he says, being affectionately desirous of you, they're willing to have imparted unto you, not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls. We would give our lives for you. Look at verse number 9. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. So watch what they do. We preach unto you the gospel of God. Paul was a servant of Christ to meet the desperate needs of the world, to reach men and women with the glorious news that Christ could give them from death and have this eternal life. And our job, listen very carefully, our job as Christians is never over. You and I have to be bold and courageous and loving, not just every once in a while, not just as we used to go out and knock doors, or not just when we used to run a bus route, or not when there was a planned activity. No, our job is day and night telling everyone about Jesus. We never, listen now, we never go on vacation from the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you agree with that, say amen tonight. Never go on vacation. Our job is to continue. He said, because we would not be chargeable unto you, any of you, we preach unto you the gospel of God. He was not slothful or lazy when it came to the gospel of Jesus. No, why? Because he did not want to be chargeable to any man. What does this mean for you and I? Well, it's just as God says, that every minister, every pastor, every leader, every believer of the Lord Jesus Christ has got to go out and to share the good news of Jesus Christ with the entire world. That's why the Bible says, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. John said it this way, say not ye that there are yet 4 months,
abundance then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white and ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. And both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. You and I are going to stand one day, and you and I are going to watch as those are judged, and watch as the book is open, and watch as those who, listen, never knew the Lord Jesus Christ are cast for eternity into a lake of fire. That's not going to be an easy day. That's not something we look forward to. That's not when we're hoopraw, oh good, I'm glad it's them. Yeah, I'm glad. Boy, I remember how wicked they were. Remember the law they put under? Remember they were instrumental? No, no. That's not a good day. And God forbid the blood of those that are cast in be on our hands because we never told them. Excuse me, we never told them. Friend, I say it often. Somebody made fun of me last week. But it's just weird that we're on Country Club Road, is it not? It's very interesting. But this is not a clique, friend. This is not a country club. We don't ask for your dues. Now, you ought to give your tithe, you know. But anyways, we don't ask for dues. We didn't, in the month of September, go ring your doorbell, and you didn't come to the door, so we talked to your little ring doorbell and say, you didn't pay your tithe this month, and so, you know, deacons are here to collect. We didn't do that. It's not a country club. You know what this is? It's a local church. Amen. And the local church ought to be growing. I'm not talking about with people from other churches. I'm talking about with lost people that you and I have been diligent in telling about. Indianapolis, I keep hearing different numbers. I've done some research, especially when we were coming in last year at this time. But I think there's right around 1.2 million, Brother Hughes, around the surrounding area, something like that. Is that right, Pastor Fo? Something like that. With, Hendricks County and Marion County, right around, let's all pretend, 1.2 million people. The 0.2 is 200,000. That's a lot of lost people. And we're not here just to have, Brother Carlson, just growth in the school so that we can pay wages and pay our teachers. Is that great? Yes, absolutely. That's good. I want to tell you that the school is an outreach and it's a ministry of Cross Point Baptist Church. Let's be reminded of that. We're all on board that the school does not run the church. Somebody help me out. Amen. The church runs the school. And how many, Brother Carlson, have we had saved in this semester so far? 12 kids have been saved. Well, come on. Somebody help me out. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God for that. That's 12 kids we're going to have in heaven for all of eternity. Whew, that's a long time with some of those kids. But nonetheless, come to think of it, why am I slow down? I'm just joking. It's a ministry. Yeah. Coach Schneider, it's a ministry. Let's be honest. You are in it here as an athletic director and administrator and everything you do. You're not in it for the money. You're in it for the ministry. And I know your heart. I know him. Pastor Dan, how long you been here? Where's Pastor Dan? Pastor Dan, how long you been here? Tell me. 26 years. Pastor Dan, can I just be honest? Are you a millionaire? He said, no. Pastor Dan, why have you stayed here for 26 years? You love it. It's a ministry. We're in it. We're in it to win it. Win what? Win that crown. That soul winner's crown. Paul said, I'm going to give my life. No, I'm going to give my life to you. I'm going to give the gospel. And friend, may I just encourage us tonight. Let's not forget that while we do have a prayer chain, and sometimes we forget, I'm sure Pastor Dan, somebody would come up to you, mine wasn't mentioned tonight, why is on it? You know, we do the best we can. We're praying. But the most important people on that list, now listen, don't take this out of context. The people that we pray for the most ought to be the section of those that are lost. Amen. That's their greatest need.
Cancer, yes. Horrible, yes. Death in the family, absolutely. Pray for each other. Lift each other. I'm not mocking, okay? Do you understand? But I'm saying this. There are people on that list that if they don't find Jesus, they're going to spend eternity in hell. And that ought to be, like Paul, why we meet. Because it's our method. What's the method? The gospel. Let's be diligent. Times have changed. We don't meet on a Saturday or Tuesday or whatever it used to be. Most fundamental Baptist church used to be. And we go out and we'd knock a couple hundred doors. And people would come to the doors. It's not a method that's really worth our time anymore. I could send out 100,000 flyers in a matter of minutes with the post office. We can run a Facebook ad that will reach 50,000, 100,000 people instantaneously. Okay, so methods have changed. But check it out. The gospel has not. We all have a Facebook. Oh, no, I don't. Okay, we all have a Facebook. Got neighbors, friends, lost loved ones. Let's not lose our courage. Let's not lose our love. Why are we here tonight? We want to grow in the Lord, absolutely. But let's grow so much that we are burdened this week to tell someone, give somebody a track. To be honest with you, we might not meet on Sunday. The Lord may come back. Mrs. Doc, we may see Jeremy this week. Wouldn't that be amazing? We might be with him in the clouds, and that's it. Earl, we're going to see Earl here. We could this week, guess what? This could be my very last message. You say, I hope so, because it's 8:01. Okay. This might be it. Who are we going to tell this week? Because Paul said, I'm going to give my life for you and give you the gospel.